Well, we made it. 2020, the year that seemed to last for 27 years, is finally over in a couple days. All the dads in the room and that are hearing this, they get to tell the best dad joke of the year as they leave this morning. And everyone knows what that dad joke is. See you next year. This is the last sermon of our Christmas series, and I've enjoyed it. We don't do topical very often, and so it's fun to do some topical every once in a while. But our scripture for this morning is from the book of Romans 11, 33 to 36. If you have a Bible, you can grab it. If there's one under the pew there, if you want to grab that, or you can read it on the screen. Here's what it says. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand His decisions and His ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give Him advice? And who has given Him so much that He needs to pay it back? For everything comes from Him, and exists by His power, and is intended for His glory. All glory to Him forever. Amen. You know, as I read that passage, the first thing that struck me, and what I want us to realize and to admit is that, just that, is this. God's methods are higher than my understanding. God has demonstrated His love for us over and over and over again, hasn't He? I mean, I just think back in the just different Bible stories, right? Jericho, right? The most atypical battle plan you could think of, Jericho. And in all honesty, it seemed like foolishness. I don't know if there's any Monty Python Search for Holy Grail fans out there, but I imagine that at Jericho, the soldiers in Jericho were standing on top of the wall taunting the people of Israel, because what were they doing? They were marching around the city. That's it. Marching around the city, you know, and perhaps the soldiers are there on top of them hurling insults and making fun and saying, "This is it? This is your big God? You're just going to walk around the city?" And then day one and day two and day three and day four and day five. You guys know what happened though, right? God's plans, God's methods are so much more than our understanding. And out of that came Rahab, like the one person that was saved in the entire city was Rahab. Rahab hid the spies. You guys know that story. But do you notice who Rahab was? I mean, that's the thing that we don't talk about, is right? She was not a good girl. She was not the one that you would think of when you're thinking, who's going to be the person that God chooses to save His people? Except it is, isn't it? Because God always chooses the least likely person that you would ever expect. Thank God for that. Because He has chosen me, the most unlikely of people, to proclaim His word. And then there was the manger, which we talked about last week, right? That's no way for a king of the world to make his entrance, but yet that's what happened. Because God's methods are higher than our methods. And then God chose to save His people by allowing Jesus to die, strung up on the cross, nailed, beaten, bloodied. And the world thought it was over. The world thought it was done. Satan thought he had won. But God's plans, God's methods are way higher than anything we could ever imagine, than anything we could ever think. So let me admit this to you. I oftentimes don't understand what God is doing or how he is working. I just don't. I don't understand how he is doing it. And over the 30-some years that I have been a Christian, I'm starting to understand this. I think that maybe that me not understanding is a good thing. And that maybe you not understanding is a good thing. Listen, church. If we could always understand God, if we could figure out how he is working and what he is doing to bring about his will, then would we really need him? Would we? Would we really need God if we could figure out exactly what he was doing, if we could predict what was going to happen and how he was going to work and how he was going to bring things about? The answer is no. Because if you're smarter or as smart as God, that's not much of a God, right? Because as I look around the world today, there's a lot of dumb people out there. See my emphasis. Not that you're not. I'm not saying you're dumb. That was a bad timing thing. Anyway, sorry, that wasn't my intent. If we understood it all, then we would be our own gods. Which seems to be much of the case for the world today, doesn't it? So many people have decided that they are good enough or smart enough or educated enough that they don't need God. They don't need a Savior. They can take care of things themselves. And my question for us this morning is, how's that working out for us? How's it work? I mean, are we kinder? Are we gentler? Are we more empathetic? Are we more sympathetic? Are we less selfish? Anybody? No. What happens is when we decide that we should be on the throne where God should sit, the world gets set on fire. Like a dumpster fire. Kind of like the Cardinals pitching rotation. But here's the deal. What does this have to do with Christmas? What does it have to do with the Advent? Let me tell you this morning that this has everything to do with Christmas. This morning we lit the Christ candle, the big white one in the center. It's the money candle, right? God's people had been watching for him, the Christ, for thousands of years. They were watching, they were waiting, they were expecting. But because God chose to bring the Messiah to the world in a way that, in a method that was not expected at all, they missed it. And for 2,000 plus years, they have continued to miss it. Our verse, our passage today, I think it speaks volumes to us and the society that we live in, because we have no idea what is happening, especially this year. We have no idea how this year happened or why it happened or what. But I want you to understand something right now, that God is on the throne. And he loves us. And yeah, 2020 has been a dumpster fire. Let's just admit it. Let's call it for what it is. But has it helped us at all? Has it helped us at all to reach out to those that are in isolation, to reach out to those that are hurting, to have empathy for those that have pain and suffering in their lives, for us to maybe feel a little bit in the name of Jesus that we can extend grace and mercy to people that are hurting and need help. Maybe we as a church have grown in that area a little bit. What I want us to see this morning is that God's methods, in light of Romans 11, 33-36, there's just three things that I just kind of put together for how God works, I think. Number one is this, is that God's methods are beyond us. Romans 11, 33, "Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible is it for us to understand His decisions and His ways." Anybody play chess? I don't, so don't look at this hand. If anybody wants to teach me how to play chess, I'd love to learn, but I play checkers. That was my game growing up, right? Never learned how to play, but if anyone wants to teach me, I'll gladly learn. What I know about chess is minimal. I know that the horse goes in the L shape. All right, I know that much. I know that's not the right word for the horse. The king can move one space, and the queen can move any amount of spaces they want in the same direction. I got that much. That's about it. And then you keep saying check, check, check until somebody says checkmate to you, and then you lose, right? That's pretty much what happens. Anyway, in our society, there was a time when chess was extremely popular in our culture. However, not so much today. I mean, there's some Netflix show about chess. I don't know. I think it's a time period piece, and it's not my cup of tea. But there's a resurgence in chess from that. But I poked around and I did some research on grandmaster chess players. Here's the deal. Grandmaster chess players, they don't just do the move that they see. Grandmaster chess players, they say, think 8 moves ahead. Like, they are thinking like 9 moves from now. You know, like, they're going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And then, boom, checkmate, right? They're thinking 8 moves ahead. I have no idea how in the world you would do that, but that's why they're grandmasters, right? Let me tell you something about God. God is way smarter than any grandmaster chess player, right? God doesn't see 8 moves ahead. God sees infinite moves ahead. Because right now, God is in the past, He is in the present, and He is in the future. That's our God. Time has no bearing for Him because He is time. He created it. He is above it. He is through it. He's below it. Time has no meaning for Him. He knows what happens in the future, and He also knows what happens in the past, and it's all happening for Him simultaneously because that's God. We need to understand that God's ways and methods are way beyond us. He has shown us countless times. However, I think that there is a tendency for me, and maybe for you, that if something doesn't seem to be going my way, it's to think, well, God must have forgotten about me. God must be angry with me. God must not love me anymore. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says this. It says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." God loves us. I want you to understand that if you hear nothing else this morning, first and foremost, God loves you. He loves you so much that if you were the only one, if you were the only one that had ever sinned in the history of mankind, He would have sent Jesus for you anyway. That's how much He loves you. But God is a cosmic chess player. He was with Jesus' birth. He was with the cross. He was with the resurrection. And now He is with you and me, and He lives in your heart. Now, that comparison falls apart because God is not playing a game, right? God is not playing any game at all. Our lives are not a chess match. God did too much for us for Him to be that trivial. But my point is that just as God knew that the perfect method for Jesus was to come as a baby in a manger, to walk and live among us for 33 years, to gather 12 disciples to share His life with, and to have one of those disciples betray Him and sell Him out for 30 pieces of silver. For the Son of Man to be tried and convicted of a crime He did not commit, and then to be hung on the cross. All of those were moves on a chessboard. All of those got Jesus to do what He had come to do. To be the sacrificial lamb for us once and for all. So that we might be able to call Him friend. So that the price might be paid that we could not pay on our own. All of that was the plan from the very beginning. All of it was set into motion clear back in the third chapter of Genesis, and all of God's methods were to get Jesus to the cross so that He could set us free once and for all. So, as we are all struggling to see what God is up to today, let's always try to remember that God's ways are beyond us. God's methods are beyond us. And always try to remember the second point, that God's methods, they include us. God's methods include us. Matthew 28:18-20 says that Jesus came and told His disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." You know what those passages and countless other passages say to me? They say, "Sobek, you've got some work to do." If I'm a follower of Jesus, then I am a disciple. And being a disciple means that I have a mission and a purpose. My work is never done as long as I draw a breath. And it shouldn't be. As long as there are people that I love and care about that don't know Jesus, that have not accepted Him as Lord and Savior, then my work isn't done. I want the people of Bowen and Augusta and West Point and Plymouth to know the good news of Jesus. I want my friends and family to know. I want those that don't have Scripture in their own language to know. Jesus has come for all of us. He loves us. God has a plan for us. And God's methods, they include us. He uses us to work and labor for the sake of the gospel. I've said it many times, but it's true. The church is God's plan to save the world through His Son. There is no plan B. We are it. Us. Church. We're the plan. There's no plan B. God desires to continue His message through the church, the gathering of the people of God. That's you and me and everyone else that calls themselves a follower of the way. 2021 is upon us. So many of us are excited that 2020 is finally over. However, let's set a theme for next year. Let's roll up our sleeves and get to work. There are so many people that need hope. So many people that need rescue. God offers it. Not Donald Trump, not Joe Biden, not whoever else you want to put in that category. Jesus is the only one that offers any hope that makes a difference. Jesus is the only one that can provide what our weary souls need, and He has included us to bring hope to the world by sharing the miraculous news that God is for us, not against us. Which is our third point, is that God's methods are for, not against us. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Now listen, that is a bitter pill for many to swallow, especially after the year that we have just come through. I think that what it comes down to is one's answer to whether or not God is trustworthy. Do you view God as being trustworthy? Do you trust Him? Do you trust that He is going to do what He said He would do? And if the answer is no, I can understand why you might say that. But I want you to understand this, that in my years of following Jesus, He has always proven to be trustworthy. He has always proven to have my best interest at heart. Many people are not so sure. Maybe they've lost loved ones too young. Maybe they financially are close to ruin. Maybe the last few years have been trending downward for people, and this whole year was the icing on the proverbial cake. How in the world could we trust a God who has let so much bad and ruin happen in this world? I get it. But I want you to remember, it's chess, not checkers. Not dominoes, it's chess. The match is still being played, but we do know the outcome, don't we? We know what happens in the end. We know what happens at the end of the book. We were having to tell Evelyn, because Evelyn's got a bunch of chapter books, and she's like such a huge reader now, a little kindergartner. But we saw her, and she was like reading the last few pages. We're like, no, you can't read the last pages of the book. What are you doing? And she's six. What is she, you know, what? Like, you know, you have to read the whole thing. You can't just read, jump ahead to the end. But we know what happens at the end. We also know that while things oftentimes may seem very bleak, God loves to raise up beauty out of the ashes of what the world has set on fire. And still today, God's methods confound and confuse, but yet He is good. God is good. He is trustworthy. And He is infinitely smarter than you or me that we could ever dream. Don't be confused. God loves us. He is for us. He is not against us. And He has shown His great love for us over and over and over again. So I guess this morning the question is this: will you trust Him? Will you trust that He sees ahead and behind and He has a plan and a hope for you and for yours? Will you trust Him? He is love. And He wants His love to be the light and hope for you and for the rest of the world. That's the point of Jesus. That's the point of the baby. That's the point of the cross. Is that you would decide to trust God with your life for all of eternity.